God knew. The Bible tells us just how much of a problem the love of money can be and how easy it is for us to kind of fall into where money becomes our master.
Yeah.
P.T. Barnum, actually, I was surprised this quote came from him, but he said, money is a terrible master, but an excellent servant. Mm-hmm. That's really what we're talking about. We're talking about making it not be your master, but be your servant. You know, use money, right? Be a good steward of it so that it grows, so that it impacts people, so that it impacts your family, so that it impacts charities, etc.
Yeah.
But never let it be the master. And I think that's really important.
Well, that was Ben Tejas talking about financial stewardship and how money can become our master if looked upon incorrectly. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta. On behalf of Ben Tejas and myself, we are so glad that you are joining us today here on Retire Repurposed. Well, retirement is a big life change. We always say the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they retire and the year they were born. We believe that retirement is not the end, but rather what could be and should be the beginning of the most impactful season of a person's life. Well, on today's show, we continue our Time, Talent, Treasure trilogy. When it comes to retirement, money and finances dominate the conversation. Most of the dialogue, however, is around strategies on building and maintaining wealth. And while a solid financial plan is vital to the life of a retiree, there are deeper, perhaps less obvious questions that need to get answered. In this podcast, Ben Tejas will overview three of the most important questions a retiree can answer regarding their treasure. Enjoy this episode. All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Jared Sebesta here. We're so glad that you're joining us here on Retire Repurposed. I've said this a lot as we kicked off the last several podcasts, but perhaps you are new to our platform, new to our message. This podcast is all about retirement, but we're going to give you a much different flavor, perhaps, of what you have heard in the past, maybe what you are expecting from the show. We speak a little bit of a different language. In fact, the language that we speak is a lot different. We will spend a lot of time really just trying to unpack and unwind what we call the typical American dream retirement, the old way of doing things, where you turn 65, you retire, your life becomes all about you. You spend the rest of your life now not adding the value you used to, and it becomes somewhat of a self-focused retirement. And we think that there's a better way. There's a repurposed retirement that you can live that not only creates more fulfillment for you, but also creates more impact for your family and the world around you. So again, if you're new to the show, we're so glad that you're joining us here on the podcast. Now, we have talked a lot about this trilogy, kind of Time, Talent, and Treasure. Time, Talent, and Treasure is the basic philosophy, kind of the framework that we operate on the financial side of our business. We have spent a lot of time talking about time. In fact, many episodes ago, we spent 7-8 episodes just talking about time. We've gotten in the habit of asking the people that we work with, of the three, time, talent, and treasure, which one is most important to you? And chances are you would agree with a lot of the answers that we have heard, and that is our time. It is a fixed amount of it's a fixed asset that we have only a finite amount of. And I think the older you get, I don't consider myself old, but the older I get, the more I realize that I have a finite amount of time left. And that is by far one of our greatest assets. We then talked about talent. We walked you through what we call the repurpose process, where we encourage you to take a look back and take a look and do an inventory of your experiences, really understand some of the things that you've been through and how those experiences have molded and shaped you into the retiree that you are today. Then we talked about doubling down on your abilities. We broke that down into skills and talents, one of which is God-given, the other one is learned and acquired throughout your career. Then we talked about rediscovering your fire, your passion. That's kind of the secret sauce that really sets this whole thing on fire. And then last week, we talked about the most important part of your repurpose, which is your who. Who are you going to impact? Ben Tejas joins me on the show now, and this is a process that we've had in place. Again, we call it the repurpose process, but an important process, nevertheless, for people to go through, and one certainly that the world doesn't talk about or certainly encourage you to go through, does it?
No, it isn't. It's very countercultural, Jared. What we talk about, I think that's okay. You know, we don't have to sound like everybody else. In fact, I don't want to sound like everybody else because I've seen lots of what everybody else is doing, and it ends up being a place of searching. Mm-hmm. And I think when retirees can accept that their retirement isn't about them, in fact, it's more about what they can do for others, then they can really see mm-hmm. that fulfilled and life-giving retirement that they've always wanted.
You know, we've always challenged people to like go and Google retirement, see what you come up with. And it's almost comical when you can look through it through this lens. And certainly no disrespect. I mean, if you were to Google retirement, you're going to see, retired couples on the beach, on a yacht, playing golf, searching for seashells. And again, no disrespect to those activities. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those activities, but there's something much more to that. And I think we would agree, Ben, if you want to vacation more, play more golf, fish more, relax more, there's nothing wrong inherently, but it can't, that can't be the nucleus, so to speak, of what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, it can't be the goal, right? If that is, those should be things that are very much part of a retiree's life, their new life, is enjoying some of that newfound freedom of time. Mm-hmm. But you won't enjoy that stuff, the stuff that you just explained, all of those more leisurely activities that people think they're going to like, if there isn't some meaningful work and work for others in between there. Yeah. And that can look like a variety of different things. But you have to remember to keep some purpose in your life.
Yeah.
You know, that's the nice part about work. It inherently does that for us. It mm-hmm. creates an outlet for us to make a difference in people's lives, to serve the people around us while we're working. And we take that away and we only focus. If the goal is all the other stuff, that's what's a problem. It's not the other stuff. In fact, I would argue if you live the way we're trying to get retirees to live and they really do keep this balance and they keep this, this servant heart in their lifestyle, they will actually start to enjoy those activities mm-hmm. more if yeah. they come at it from that approach.
I think that's a really important piece to this, that your capacity to enjoy the good things of life actually goes up, but it's kind of it's an indirect path. The more value we add, the more our light shines, the more our capacity goes up. You can't just have the capacity without the external value adding to people. And I see how that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, Jared, if there's one thing I would add to last week's show, is we talked about your who and kind of making sure that you're serving people around you and focusing on others, is that don't think you got to have a big platform. Don't think you have to start something huge out there. You don't have to start a nonprofit. You don't have to even travel far from home to make a huge, meaningful impact. Mm-hmm. Our pastor was preaching this weekend, and he gave a quote from Charles Spurgeon that said, "You have been wishing for another position where you could do something for Jesus. Do not wish for anything of the kind, but serve him where you are." And I think for retirees, if they can just hear, just serve them where you are. You know, you're in this place of retirement. You've got some new freedom in your schedule. Mm-hmm. Find people even close by. Again, doesn't have to be big platform. Doesn't have to be across the world, but can be right next door.
I think that's really encouraging too, because again, we talked a lot about legacy. Legacy isn't a dollar amount in your bank account. It's not how much inheritance you're going to leave to the next generation. Everybody has the ability to have that people impact, no matter where you live, no matter what you've been doing, no matter how old you are, there is the ability to do that. So I encourage people to take you up on that advice.
Yeah, a legacy requires people in some way, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have a people impact. You have to impact somebody. You have to have that who. It doesn't have to be financial. In fact, it never is. It's mm-hmm. always about a lasting people impact.
Yep, absolutely. If you missed any of those shows, especially last week's show talking about your who, I encourage you to go back to your favorite podcasting platform and look at the last several shows. There's about a dozen shows where we really unpack this whole idea of time, talent, your repurpose, and how to impact others. So today we're going to start kind of the third leg of this trilogy, time, talent, treasure. Now we're going to start actually talking a little bit about treasure, ironically coming from a financial firm. You know, this is really where I think a lot of people start the retirement conversation, and unfortunately, it ends. Now, just a little preface here. We're not going to be giving out you know, there's not going to be any investment related advice. We're not going to be giving out financial strategies on this show or the shows ahead. But Ben, we're going to talk about, we're probably going to have three or four episodes on really how to, I don't know, what would be the best way to overview this? How to frame up your treasure, how to use it, how to utilize it, its role in our retirement. What would you say we're going to talk about here in the next several shows?
Yeah, it's about being a good steward, Jared. I think you know, we've talked a lot about stewarding our time, stewarding our talent, but very little so far about our treasure. So how do we make the most of what God's given us? Mm-hmm. And you know, we go back to the parable of the talents. Again, that's kind of our mantra of what we do, is making sure that, you know, someday when we have to answer to our maker about what did you do with what I have entrusted you, mm-hmm. you don't have to say, I just held on to it and did nothing with it.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to talk a lot about, not the specific investments or strategies, but mm-hmm. very general. The today, basically, the three questions that everybody needs to answer mm-hmm. in order to be the best steward of what God's given them.
We're going to give you an overview of those three questions. Those are questions that we use in our financial practice. But also, too, we're going to get into the specifics and really kind of nail down each one of these questions over the next several shows. You know, I'll be honest, whenever you hear the word stewardship, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's a Christian term, but usually in the Christian circles, it's used most anywhere else, at least in my experience here on earth. You know, if that gets brought up from the pulpit, it seems like, you know, if a pastor is going to say, hey, we're going to talk about stewardship this week, immediately people start talking about giving and, you know, charity. And that is, would you agree that that's a piece of it, but that's really not at the heart of really what it's all about? How would you explain that?
It's certainly giving is part of it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I don't think you can be a good steward and just look out for yourself. Back to being, you know, a good steward of your time and your talents, mm-hmm. and only look out for yourself. So certainly being charitable is a big, big part of that.
Yeah.
And open, having open hands, sure. and not having tight-fisted grasp over all of the money that we're entrusted. Mm-hmm. So giving's part of it. But there's a lot more than yeah. that. I think it comes down to, you know, how we look at our wealth. You know, what's the goal of the wealth that we have been entrusted? You know, there's a reason that the Bible talks about money more than any other subject. Over 2,350 times actually brings up. So when you talk about a pastor and preaching on this, I think maybe the reason some people are like, oh, they get the bristled back feel of like, oh man, we're talking about money and they're just going to try to get my money. I would say they need to talk about it more, mm-hmm. right? If you look at percentage of what pastors are preaching about, it should be a huge part of mm-hmm. their sermon series throughout the year. I mean, yeah. a huge chunk of it should be around money, because God knew. The Bible tells us just how much of a problem the love of money can be, mm-hmm. and how easy it is for us to kind of fall into where money becomes our master.
Yeah.
P.T. Barnum, actually, I was surprised this quote came from him, but he said, money is a terrible master, but an excellent servant. Mm. That's really what we're talking yeah. about. We're talking about making it not be your master, but be your servant. You know, mm. use money, right? Be a good steward of it so that it grows, so that it impacts people, so that it impacts your family, so that it impacts charities, etc.
Yeah.
But never let it be the master, and I think that's really important.
I think just in the context of money, stewardship, you know, really comes into play. But as you mentioned, we can steward our time, we can steward our talents, we can steward our gifts, we can steward our children. I've even thought about that. You know, I have four young children, and you know, God has placed those in my possession. Not because I own them, but as a father, as a husband, as a leader, I'm there to steward their lives. I mean, you could really break that down into so many categories and subcategories of stewardship. It's not just the financial. And I think it gives a really healthy perspective on life. Like, you know, God has stewarded me this day. You know, so what am I going to do with it? You know what I'm saying? Like, he stewarded me this body. How am I going to treat it? What am I going to do with it today? And I think when you have that perspective, it's not just about like tithing. I think that's where people, their minds go. But stewardship is really, it's a Christian principle that goes, you know, way beyond just the checkbook.
Yeah, we have to look at our everything that we've been given from a lens of gratitude and stewardship, right? Mm-hmm. So I thank you.
Yeah.
Now what do I do with it? And I really think that It needs to be talked about more,
yeah,
more openly with our families. I do a terrible job of that. I mean, sometimes I'm teaching this stuff and I'm like telling people, hey, we got to communicate more about this. And then, you know, it hits me squarely in the forehead, like, oh, you didn't do a good enough job of doing this as well. So, you know, again, part of this is me learning too. Mm-hmm. But we have to just understand there's a reason that the Bible talks about money this much. There's a reason that it is so easy in our society to fall down the rabbit trail of, I've got to have more. Mm-hmm. I've got to, you know, make money the goal. It should never be the goal. It should always be the means of, sure, getting something, but never the end. And I think that, you know, when you look at the big picture around what you have, money can't be the goal. It can't be the end. It is strictly a means.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. All right, so I think that's a really good overview and kind of a good segue here into our conversation today. We're going to cover three questions retirees need to answer regarding their treasure. And we've kind of breezed over them in some context already here, but let's go through these three questions specifically. And of course, the weeks ahead, we'll go deeper. But what's question number one?
Well, it's going to sound a little basic, Jared, but essentially your first question is, what are you stewarding? It baffles me, Jared, how many times people come in and they start to look at, you know, we start to put together a balance sheet for someone. They're like, well, I don't know, you know, what I own. Hmm. Technically, I don't know how it's titled. I don't know, certainly what's going to happen to it if I'm gone, but they don't even have a good handle of what they're stewarding. Hmm. And it's easy for them to look at, you know, a statement, like a financial statement, and see, oh, here's my 401k, here's the balance, and here's what it's doing. But I want to look at their entire picture. So whether or not they have a home, they have a business, they have real estate, they have whatever the full value of everything that they own, and that is essentially what they're stewarding. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, I don't want to just know what they're stewarding, but I want to know the risk and reward trade-off, right? With everything they have, there's some risk to that, and there's some basic return. Mm-hmm. So when you start there and you say, what are the total, I'd say, overall capital allocation of everything I have, that's where it starts. What are you stewarding?
So is this like where you now take inventory, or like where you're actually trying to get to the nuts and bolts as to kind of where people line up? And also, too, does it surprise you sometimes the amount of people that don't really know exactly what they even own? Kind of a two-part question there.
Jared, it's so important because you never know when something's going to happen to you also, right? I mean, you never know when that surprise happens. Also, I need a place where I have a full accounting of everything I have.
Right.
So part of being a good steward is understanding what you have. Mm-hmm. I never like it when clients say, oh, we just trust you. We just trust you. You got this. No, you need to understand, do a full capital allocation plan. So everything you're stewarding needs a specific goal, mm-hmm, right? And we need to understand how it's titled and what it's doing. And that's where we start.
Yeah, I don't want to go too deep into the weeds here because we'll save this for next week. But I can imagine this is where there's relational struggles in marriage, perhaps, where people, you know, like if you're meeting with somebody and you're having this conversation, perhaps there's maybe even things that, you know, that person doesn't know, perhaps the spouse doesn't know. I mean, you're already in the weeds here with question one, which is good. I mean, with any financial plan, it seems like the best way to handle that is bringing stuff to the light, but you're already kind of going down, I don't want to say a slippery slope, but you're already kind of like pressing some buttons with people just by asking this first very basic question.
Yeah, Jared. So we are certainly in these discussions, you know, coming up with things that need to be talked about more, mm-hmm, right? It's not uncommon that there's a husband and a wife where one kind of handles the finances, and that's okay, right? Where some of us are more gifted in that area, but we both, as far as we're both stewarding this together,
right,
need to understand the totality of everything that we have. Mm-hmm. So I think when we can start here and get both spouses on the track where they both understand in general,
yeah,
the total of what we have and what we're stewarding, it will bring up some great discussion.
Yeah.
It will bring up some much needed more, you know, usually more communication around this. So we're talking about these things more. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very important that both you and your spouse understand the overall picture and start to discuss goals for your entire estate, all your wealth.
We're talking about three questions retirees need to answer regarding their treasure. We just covered question number one. What are you stewarding? What's question number two?
Well, two is, the question is, how much is enough for you now and in the future? And really what I'm after there, Jared, is I'm coming up with an income plan. And I want people to hear this very clearly. There's a huge difference between wealth and income. You can look at your wealth as kind of everything that you're stewarding, you know, from an asset standpoint, but there's also income. Income's that useful side of money. It's what you get to spend. It's what you get to give. It's what you get to do experiences with your family. You need an income to do that. Mm-hmm. So what I'm looking at there is we need to understand how much is actually enough today and in the future. And sometimes, Jared, what we find is that we need to actually set a cap. We need to say, okay, this is what we're going to make. Mm-hmm. This is the rest of it we're going to do something else with.
Is that like a number... is that a number on a statement, like total wealth, net worth? Is that like monthly cash flow? What are you getting at it when you say like how much is enough? What number are you looking at? Or maybe it's a little bit of everything.
No, I'm not looking at net worth. I'm not looking at total value of what they have. Okay. I'm looking at what do they need to live on? Okay. What is the consistent regular income that allows them to experience mm-hmm. and to do life? Yeah. So many times people, does that sound like a budget? It sounds like it's a budget. It sounds like you're trying to get me as a retiree to go back to budgeting. Mm-hmm. And we kind of are.
Yeah.
I think if people look at budgeting prior to them retiring and when they're trying to save money, that budget was put in place to give direction to your money so that way you knew how much there was left over for you to save so someday you could use it.
Right.
It's the exact opposite in retirement. When I get to retirement and I'm trying to create a budget for somebody, I'm actually budgeting for them to spend and give. It actually gives them more freedom right. to do things. So instead of them trying to figure out what's left over so they can save it, I'm mm-hmm. trying to figure out what's left over so I can give it away mm-hmm. or spend it on more experiences and get the freedom to do more of those things.
Yeah.
Having a really clear regular income plan allows people to do that.
Yeah, you just hit the buzzword for me. I was going to say this probably gives people a lot of liberation, but you said that too. It kind of gives you the freedom to do that. So I'm looking forward to diving into more of that particular question when we get to it. We got several minutes left here, but I do want to cover this last one here. What is number three?
Well, third one is how much is enough for your children? And then what do we do with the rest? So if I'm able to summarize, I'm able to see number one, the total I'm stewarding. Then how much is enough for me now and in the future? And that last question is, how much is actually enough for our kids? And then what do we do with the rest? Mm-hmm. And I think that discussion is probably the toughest one because it forces us to say, okay, we've been entrusted with all this wealth. Should our kids get it? Should charity get it? How much and when for mm-hmm. both of those? So you really start digging deep into the when and how much of getting the next generation wealth.
Well, I think it's a great conversation to have, and it's a great segue from question number two, because once you identify how much is enough for you, now that creates a clear boundary. Now you can start... I don't want to say divvying that out, but you can start transferring that because again, this is where I'm guessing we're going to talk a lot about wealth transfer plans here at this point, right?
It is. And I think, again, if you have that, the freedom from having your own income plan and you know your needs are met, mm-hmm. it does allow you to start to plan accordingly for your heirs yeah. and charity,
yeah.
right? So we're able to say, okay, if I'm not going to use this, I'm able to be making decisions now while right. I'm alive,
yeah.
what's going to happen with it after I'm gone? And for many people, the goal here is not to hold on to it till the very end. Mm-hmm. I have that conversation a lot with clients. It's like, you can't give at death. It's not mm-hmm. giving.
Yeah.
Your kids can, but you can't. So again, I'm looking at this part of the plan of saying what, almost everybody's got something left over. Almost everybody deal with it. They're able to come up with question one and two, and then there's something left over. Mm-hmm. And most of them, their current plan says, yeah, someday the kids will get it. That's really not,
right.
that's not a plan.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's a plan that I've seen cause more problems sure. in families than anything. So start communicating, but start the gifting now when they can use it, but also make sure that you understand each kid mm-hmm. and then you're able to do what's best for each one yep. uniquely.
Yeah, that's a great point. We've got about 30 seconds left. We're going to go deeper into these questions starting next week. Next week, we're going to start with what are you stewarding? Give people just kind of a little taste as to kind of what's coming up next week and the depth by which we're going to answer this question.
Yeah, Jared, we're going to go a little bit deeper into answering that question. And why I think that's so important is, again, we never know when something could happen to us. To be able to provide for your family a complete accounting of everything that you're stewarding so that they're able to then, you know, you're able to pass the torch to them is super important. So again, when we create a starting point for every one of our clients, we have to understand the total of what they're stewarding.
Hey everybody, Jared Sebesti, your host of Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. Few people could just flip the switch from working a career 30 or 40 plus years, retiring on Friday without methodical steps to living what we call a repurposed retirement. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.